So this morning, Psalm 18, and I want to read verses 1 to 19 in Psalm 18, and then we're just going to skip over to Galatians 5 as we look at the biblical context as well. Here we go. I love this psalm. Psalm 18, verse 1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me in my distress. I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. And from his temple he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountain shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the rain, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemies, great bolts of lightning, and routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed and the foundations of the earth laid bare. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. It's great, isn't it? Should we turn to Galatians chapter 5 as well? It's page 1172, and we're just going to read Galatians 5:13 as well this morning. So we think about this theme of living free, of this wide open space, the spacious place that God rescues us into. This is what Galatians 5:13 says. You, my brothers and sisters, you, the church, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Let's pray together and ask that God would open our eyes and our hearts to his word. Father, we just come and say thank you for your word, Old and New Testament. Thank you for how it speaks of wonderful things, of what you have done for us. So Lord, open our ears, open our hearts, that we wouldn't be merely hearers of your word, but doers also. Help me now, come Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's a new year, and many, I imagine, woke up yesterday in Brighton and Hove and thought this year, they might not have verbalized it quite like this, but this year they thought, I'd like a bit more freedom. I'd like to maybe move out of the home where I'm living with my parents and get a bit more independence. Or I'd like to actually sort out all the kind of electronics in my house so that I'm free of all these wires and I go wireless. Or I like to get a kind of digibox on the television so I'm free to watch whatever I want anytime. Or maybe I'd like actually a bit more financial freedom. I'm going to look for a job this year which just pays a bit more. Or maybe they're thinking, you know what, I would like this year just to be free of that habit that's been bugging me for ages and I feel like it's getting me down and I'm just going to start a new regime or a new sort of daily rhythm that's hopefully going to break that habit. Maybe they're thinking that this year they want to enjoy the freedom of the countryside a bit more and they're determined to go out for walks every Sunday afternoon or they're determined that they're going to have less of the tyranny of emails in their life and they're going to try and pigeonhole it back down and they want to be free from those kind of pressures and demands, at least on Saturday, if at no other time. I don't know what it is this year for you, but I imagine even for many here. You've come into the year and actually in one way or another, you're looking for greater freedom. Well, where do we find freedom? Where and how and when does this freedom come into our lives? Well, freedom is this great theme of the Bible, this theme of rescue and of salvation and of God saving people is a theme in the Old and the New Testament of the Bible. And this psalm that we've read is actually about this guy who is in trouble and who is needing to find freedom and rescue. And God comes and frees him. And rescues him and brings him out into this spacious place. And in Galatians 5 as well, we have it so clearly for us. It says this, you were called to be free. So as you go into this year, this is actually not just a desire you might have. It's a calling. A calling on my life and on your life to be free people. And actually, in the beginning of Galatians 5, if you've still got your finger in there, Galatians 5 verse 1, it spells out what that freedom is. It says this, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. He's the one who has come and set us free. And so first this morning, if we're thinking about living free, well, living free then, firstly, comes from believing and following Jesus Christ. That is what it is to live free. Living free is following Jesus, this one who saves, this one who has come down into our world and was born, as Galatians says in Galatians 4, I think verse 7, it says about when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those, that's free those under the law, that they might have the full rights as sons. So God sent his son to come and free us. And he freed us. How? Well, he freed us by, in Galatians 3, it says this a bit earlier on. It says in verse 13, if you remember, if you've been following our evening series last term, it says, Christ redeemed us, Christ freed us, 3:13, from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Speaking of his death, of the cross. For how Jesus was nailed to something, so that you and I could go free. Are you enjoying the freedom that God paid so dearly to win you? Are you in a spacious place this morning? A wide open space. Can you say, with the psalmist, he brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The psalmist knew what it was back in Psalm 18 to have that feeling of things surrounding him. It's so vividly put, isn't it? If you look back to Psalm 18, and this is a psalm that's repeated in 2 Samuel 22. And it probably is, it says at the beginning of the psalm, in the little intro, it says, the psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, he sung to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. We're going to look this evening a bit more at that wider context back in 2 Samuel. That without doubt, this had been a torrid time for David. He'd been through lots of battles and lots of difficulties. And he'd had so vividly put in verse 4 and 5 and 6, this sense of kind of death and difficulty and oppression just surrounding him and almost overwhelming him. And I wonder if at times you've known what it is to almost feel overwhelmed, whether by the challenges or by the oppression or by the expectations of others or by the different things around you. And yet, he wonderfully describes how God came and I love this verse 16. After it's talked of this God coming and parting the heavens and thundering from heaven, verse 13, and coming to save him, it then says, he reached down and took hold of me from on high. It's like God said, David, King David, I got you. And he comes and he says to us this morning, I don't know what you're going through as you come into this year. Maybe you feel, even as you anticipate going back into all the things that the new year holds, you kind of feel yourself sort of sinking down under the weight of it. And Jesus wants to come and say, Ali, I've got you. You know, Steve, I've got you. Paul, I've got you. It's okay, Dick, I've got you. That's right, Jean, I've got you. Helen, I've got you. He reached down from on high and he got a hold of us. And he draws us out. And he brings us into a spacious place. Why? Why does he do that? Why did he send his son into the world, down, and to get a hold of us, to die on that cross, to rescue us? Why did he do that? Well, because it says it in our verse for the year. He did that because he delights in us. He delights to save us because he delights in us. He delights in me. I've been sort of enjoying that for the last few weeks and days, particularly just enjoying that he delights in me. He delighted in me enough to rescue me, and he delights in me still. And he delights in you this morning. He delighted in you to save you, to reach you out. And maybe you don't even know fully that wonderful saving work that God can do. But he delights in you even now. That's why he sent his son to save you. The Bible is full of it. John 3:16. Do you want to say it with me? I'm sure many of you know it. For God so loved. Let's just add to that word, delighted. That's what it means. He loved and delighted. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's the big theme of the Bible. Psalm 18:19, John 3:16, Romans 5, verse 8. I think we got this one on the screen, but many probably know this as well. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners. That's how much he loved us. As while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He rescued us because he delighted in us. So as you come into this new year, are you in this wide open space? Are you enjoying the freedom that Christ came to set you free? What are the things that have come and are crowding around you again and are stopping you from enjoying that? And in my life, I've discovered that what actually robs me of that freedom is when I, as Sean was again just saying, I let other stuff other than Jesus take first priority. I start getting a hold of that. And the things that I think I've done or should do or maybe wish I hadn't done, all those kind of things, I let that kind of start being big in my mind rather than him. And I find I need to afresh repent, come into this new year and say, you know what, God, I don't want to take the baggage from last year into this new year. Please, will you take it? Will you deal with it? Will you again, rescue me from it. I believe in you. I believe you're sufficient for me. I believe you're enough. I believe that you're good enough, powerful enough, wise enough, so that as I go into the new year, my hope is not actually in me. My hope is in him and all that he is able to do in his mighty power. Again, wonderfully, this morning, just before the service, Penny said that she was just praying this week, and God had just given her a picture. Many of you know Penny, and that that's one of the ways God loves to work in and through her. And the picture that she described was of being on a platform station with like loads of baggage, like just, you know, don't know if you've ever traveled with kids on a train, but try multiplying that by sort of 5 or 4 times. You've got all these bags and boxes, and the train pulls in just in the platform station for a moment. You look at the door. And she said the picture she had was like being on the platform station thinking there's no way you're going to get on the train with all these bags. And it's like, well, you need to leave the bags, the baggage, to get on the train. The train is God's purposes for you in this new year, his plan, what he's doing, where he's going. Let go of the baggage and get on the train. What do you need to, as you come into this new year, just like Sean was saying, what are the stuff that you need to say, you know what, I need to stop focusing on that, I need to stop doing that, I need to repent of my sin, my fears, You need to let God deal with the guilt. And I need to say, okay, God, you are enough. I believe in you. I'm moving on with you. And praise God, as we step on that train, as we believe in him again, as we follow him, as we focus and think, yes, he is the master. That's actually where we discover freedom afresh. You know, amazing, in Psalm 18, I don't know if you noticed this when I was just reading that little intro, and you might not realize it, but the bits in the small print there in the NIV, just before the psalm starts, that's actually original. You know, that was the stuff that was on in the psalm originally. That's not the publishers who've put that in or anything. So this is actually also kind of the inspired word of God, that this is written for the director of music of David, the servant of the Lord. He sang to the Lord the words of this song. So this is David, who's the king. And he chooses to describe himself not as David the king who sang, but he chooses to describe himself as David, the servant of the Lord, who sang. So he's singing, he's enjoying this freedom. And in that, as he thinks about who he is, he thinks first and foremost, he's the servant of the Lord. He's following the king. He's following Jesus. And as I reorientate my life, and as I think again, yeah, that's what I'm about. I'm following Jesus. Then freedom comes up into my life. You know, freedom comes not from changing the situation, but from changing our attitude and letting Christ be master again. Restoring and realizing, yeah, this is how God made me to be. Sometimes use the illustration, if you've been around for a while at this church, you've probably heard this before, but of a fish in the ocean who might think, you know what, I feel kind of tied in this ocean. I don't know, you know, I want to be on the land, you know, out on the land is where I'll feel free. If I could just get out of this ocean. And so the fish kind of leaps out of the sea onto the land. And is it free? No, actually, if it does that and stays out there, it will be on the pathway to death. And it will discover that it's not free, and it's not all it's cracked up to be. That actually where that fish is meant to be is back in the water. And if it gets back in the water, believe you me, that fish will be going, wow, this is freedom in the ocean. This is where I was made to be. And it will be swimming around and going, yes, I'm back in the water. Like, I don't know, Finding Nemo, when it gets back out of that little thing, back in there. I'm free. You know, when I realign again, I think, yeah, following Jesus, that is what I'm about. As Sean put it, God first, Jesus first, following Jesus. When that is primary in our lives, that's when we discover, yeah, this is freedom. This is freedom. This is where my soul comes alive. This is where I start singing. This is where I find a wide open space when I've let him take hold of me because I've let go of all the other stuff and he's got me and I'm looking and following him and he's turning back and saying, yeah, David, I delight in you. And yes, you're with me and let's go together. And boy, is that freedom. So following Jesus is and must be and should always be our first and primary calling as a church. I hope it is descriptive of what we're about, but I hope too that that word, that little phrase, following Jesus, will be something that as you think, yeah, what are we about as a church? You think, yeah, we're about following Jesus. We're Christians. That's what the word means. Christians. It's the followers of Christ, little Christs, those who are looking to him. And that is our calling. That is the vision. I want to say this is what we're about this year. If you want to live free, follow Jesus. If you want to know the joy and the peace of being in that wide open space, follow Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on him. And then you might be thinking, well, David, what does that look like? What does following Jesus look like? Well, Galatians 5:13 helps us again here because following Jesus is living for others. So living free is following Jesus, but following Jesus is living for others. See, it's Sean's little sermon, isn't it? Jesus first, others second. Why? Well, because actually as we put Jesus first, we discover this freedom, and this is a freedom that expresses itself in an ability to put others second. Because Jesus is serving others. Jesus is living for others. He came. If you want to follow him, what is Jesus doing? He's living for others. He's come into this world to love and serve others. So look back at Galatians chapter 5 with me. Galatians 5 at 13. Maybe keep a finger in Psalm 18 as well. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Don't use it to just live for yourself. So this is not living free, it's following Jesus. You're free. Do whatever you like. Put yourself next. Now, that's how the world thinks of freedom. That's how the fish thinks. Yeah, if I could jump out of the water and do what I want to do, and then I'll be free. No, that's not actually freedom. That's a slavery to yourself, to selfish desires. No, this is what freedom is expressed like. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Amazing thing about that little phrase, serve one another in love, is that that word serve in the Greek is the word doulos. Doulos is actually the word slave. So you're free, you're called to be free, so use and express your freedom by becoming a slave. Wow. Is it possible to have a freedom that is so spacious, so wonderful, that even as a slave of somebody else, you feel free? And what Paul would say, not only, yes, it's possible, he would say, that's your calling. That is the kind of freedom. How does being a slave or a servant of someone, how does that become freedom? Well, by loving that person you're serving. In fact, let's reorder that and say, let your love be what drives you to serve. And so this kind of freedom that I'm longing for us to enjoy and experience this year, this wide open space I'm longing for us to inhabit and be, this is the kind of freedom that is not, you know, robbed by circumstances. This is not the kind of freedom which you can enjoy on Sundays, but then as you go back on Tuesday to work or to school or to college, you kind of think, oh no, this freedom's now going to be taken away from me. No, this is a freedom which you can enjoy in that. This is a freedom which, even if this year you fall ill, you can still enjoy this freedom. This is a freedom which, even if your boss is being really cruel and kind of putting pressure on you and you're feeling kind of work's a nightmare, that you can still enjoy this freedom in that situation. This is a freedom which, if your life feels like it's just full of small children and of babies crying and of nappies and there's no time to yourself, that this is still possible to enjoy this freedom. This is a freedom when the pressures of expectations of others crowd in on you. You're still able to enjoy this freedom. This is a freedom which, even if you and I were to be put in prison, as the Apostle Paul was time and time again, you're still able to enjoy this freedom. Wow. That's the freedom I long and pray that we would know and embrace. Freedom in Christ in such a way that whatever circumstance or situation, that we're able to express and feel that freedom by loving those around us. Whether the kids or our spouse or our boss or our friend or our enemy or the neighbor or the person in the community or the person in the church, that we just are able to enjoy this freedom by having hearts that overflow with love. And you might think, well, David, how is that possible? Well, Galatians 5 helps us so wonderfully here because we see that love spills out of a life that found freedom in Christ and been full of the Spirit of God. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, where the Spirit of God is there is freedom. I think actually it's 2 Corinthians. Where the Spirit of God is there is freedom. So as the Spirit comes and fills our life, it enables us to love. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, there's this fantastic quote that I found. In fact, Jackie found it for me and passed it on. It's by a guy called John Piper, a pastor in the States. He says this, love is motivated by the joy of sharing our fullness. The works of the flesh, which Galatians 5 later talks about, that is motivated by a desire to fill our emptiness. As you go into tomorrow, bank holiday, as you go into Tuesday, Thursday, this week ahead, are you going into it with a desire to have your emptiness filled by something? Well, that will lead to all kinds of problems. That will lead to things like sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discourse, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. You might think, that's a bit extreme. You know, I'm only going into my work hoping that I do better than my colleagues so I get that promotion. But that's where the envy creeps in. You see, our lives would be lives that are full. This morning, full. In a spacious place. Free in Christ, so that we're able, out of that freedom, out of that knowing how much God delights in us, so that we're full of His love. And even this morning, as Katie, you were just leading us in worship, you were just repeating on that, this is my desire, to be in your presence, to know of the love of God in our life. And as we were just thinking about that, there was another one that we sung about, being robed in righteousness. What was that? I think it was, to God be the glory, was it? King of Kings, yeah. King of Kings, Majesty, you know, God of heaven living in me. And He's robed us in righteousness. And you know what? I was thinking, wow, I've got this robe of righteousness. I don't know, did you get any clothes for Christmas? Did you get any clothes? A shirt or a jumper or a jacket or some new shoes or anything like that? I got a shirt for Christmas. And my wife chose it, but my mom paid for it. It's one of those kind of good kind of deals. And, you know, and I just this morning, I thought, you know, I'm going to wear my new shirt. And it just, you know, wearing new clothes, it's that sense of it. And I was thinking, as I was standing there and we were worshiping God, I was thinking, wow, you know, we get excited over a new clothes. My robe of righteousness is way better than this shirt. Your robe of righteousness in Christ. Freedom He's poured on you. Better than any of your Christmas gifts by such a long way, or any of your friends. And He's clothed us, and He loves us, and He delights in us. And as we realize that, we're then free to love. We're free to have this love that pours out of our fullness into the lives of others. And so as we think about what it is then, as we go into this year, what's the calling that God's placed on our lives as a church? What are we to be? Well, we're to be those that follow Jesus. We got it up here on the screen. We're to be those that follow Jesus, that make that our primary calling. We're to be those that reach out to others in love. And that's always been a heartbeat of this church. It's one of the things that when people come into membership of the church and I'll say, what do you think this church is about and important? They say, well, it's got a heart for the community, a heart for the world. So we want to reach out, whether that's across the room, across the street, across the city, across the nations. Let's keep reaching out to this world around us that God loves. That's one of the ways we express our love. But you know, also as we live and we love others, we want to be an extended family. That's part of the language we've been using of the love and the care and the looking out for the diversity and celebrating the different ages and the different backgrounds and, you know, the quirkiness that extended families have. Hey, praise God that we're different and diverse and we're quirky in different ways. And, you know, that's part of what makes us an extended family in God, where He is our Father and we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And I sometimes think of different ones here as uncles and aunts as well. There's that respect that we need to have for one another. We need to speak grace and truth to one another. We talk about being an extended family full of grace and truth. And so I'm thinking, you know, you're like, yeah, David, I know that. I know that's what we're about as a church. You know, I know we're about following Jesus. I know we're about reaching out. I know we're about being an extended family. And maybe you're like me and you're thinking, yeah, and to do that, we need God's help by His word and by His spirit and His word. You know, I was reading a while back last year, John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, the last bit that Jesus says to His disciples before He went to the cross. And I was reading that and I was just like hit time and time again. It says, love one another. And then a few verses on, it says, this is my command, love one another. A few verses on, it says like, love one another, love one another, love one another. If you were there, I think it was the last church meeting last year, I was just saying that this theme of doing everything in love, being those who do everything in love, that just gripped me. And I thought, this I believe is part of the hallmark of our church, but I want it to be even more. So I just want to put these four things out there: following Jesus, reaching out, extended family, everything in love. And I want to say, this is what I believe is descriptive of our church, praise the Lord, but I think we could grow in these things way more. Be talking a bit more tonight, actually, about how our freedom is something that, yes, there's an instant aspect to it. We can discover freedom just like that as we come to Christ, but there's also a gradual aspect to it. We have to mature in faith and in discovering that freedom, and till one day we get to heaven and we're free at last. And so we're looking more about that tonight. But here, you'll notice that as we follow Jesus, we reach out, as we're extended family, as we do everything in love. That is how we're free. And boy, this city is looking for free people. It's looking for people and an expression of that freedom. And that is what we're called to be, free in Christ, as we follow Jesus, as we reach out, as we're as an extended family, as we do everything in love. And so I want to give this to you and say, this is what I believe we're about as a church. I believe it's not new. I believe it's just encapsulating what we've kind of known in already, but maybe you didn't kind of have the exact words that if someone said, what are we about as Holland Road? What are we trying to be about? You wouldn't have necessarily gone, well, we're about following Jesus. We're about reaching out. We're about being an extended family, and we want to do everything in love. You might have come up with some of those. You might have come up with something different. But this is what I want to say. I think this is memorable. I think this is the stuff of what we're called to be. This is what God's word and God's spirit enable us to be. And without those things, those are, if you like, family values that just got to imbue us. It's like God's word that says love one another. And it's God's spirit that enables us to love. But we also need each other. We also need each other to spur one another and say, how are you doing at following Jesus? Are you getting your time with him? Are you listening to what he's saying to you? Are you doing what he's telling you? Are you reaching out? I'm looking at Andy. I know where he is. I'm looking along. Are you reaching out? Are you telling anyone this good news that there's freedom in Christ by your word and by your lips? Are you part of this extended family? Do you feel part? Do you feel like you belong? Have you made those relations? Is anyone speaking grace to you or truth to you? Are you living a life of love? Are you being generous? Are you stewarding your body well? Because our bodies are not our own. They belong to God. We need to honor God with our bodies. But what we do with our bodies actually is part of how we love others. Are you moving towards people, or are you kind of moving away from them? I want to give you a little gift. This is not just for this year. This is not our verse for the year card. This is something that I hope will be used year on year on year. And I think we could, you know, develop it and move forward. But it's a little card that just has those four things on there. Following Jesus, reaching out, extended family, everything in love. This is not something I want to do a sermon series on and then forget it. This is not something, ushers are just bringing them out to everyone. This is not something I want us to kind of just, have a series of studies on for small groups, and then we move on and do something else. This is something that whatever we're doing, I want us to come back and think, yeah, this is how we do it. Following Jesus, reaching out, be extended family, and do everything in love. And on the back of these cards, I've just got some questions which we've sometimes used before when we've done little discipleship groups or accountability groups. But these questions, I believe, will help us grow in our freedom and in these things. And as you get one, it's a little kind of business card size. You can put it in your wallet, or as Neil said when I showed it to him, oh, it's like a Trivial Pursuit card. But it's actually important. And I believe that if you get with someone, a friend, maybe someone in your small group, your spouse, maybe someone you minister with, and you take time to just maybe take one or two of these questions, and I would say just put one or two max, and just get real. Do the grace and truth thing. Maybe the first time you meet, you won't open up quite as much, but I'd encourage you to open up as much as you're able, and as you meet more regularly, you know, and talk about these things. You will help one another grow. And one of my longings is, as we reach out and both encourage people to come here, to central things, to Sundays and other events, as we reach out in missional communities, that there will be discipleship happening with those we reach, that there'll be that discipleship happening with one another, where we're encouraging one another to grow in God, to spend time in his word, to be full of his spirit, to be free, to be in a wide open space. Has everyone got a card? If you've got one, just give us a wave with it. You got one? Will you keep hold of that? And I'm hoping that those who aren't here this morning, who are still away on holiday or whatever, that they can get one in these coming weeks. If you lose one or you want another one for a friend, just there's piles of them. And will you just think for a moment, who could I maybe meet with? Why don't you just look at the bottom question on the back, the free one. Just says, are you in a wide open space? If not, why not? I'd love to know that for everyone here, but I can't. But I think you could find someone you could have that kind of conversation with. I think you probably know someone already. And I'd love you even this week to maybe just call them and say, could we meet sometime for a coffee? I'd love to just talk about, you know, spiritual things, just how we can encourage one another in our walk with God. Just take the time this year as you look for more freedom in whatever other situations and work or circumstances or life or family life or house life that you're, as you're seeking that, actually you'll discover it most when you grow in these things. When you grow in following Jesus, in reaching out, in being an extended family and doing everything in love. So that's what we're called to. You, my brothers and sisters, are called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Be in that wide open space, receiving and knowing how much God delights in you, that you might be full. Can we just have that quote on again? That you might be full. The John Piper one. So that your life would overflow with love rather than with emptiness. And again, as I've been saying, we need God's word to fill our hearts, his promises, and we need his spirit. So as we end this morning, I'd love to just give opportunity for us to receive afresh his spirit for a new year. You know, I'd love us to just pause. We sometimes get people to pray for people, and God can use that. He works through people and he ministers his spirit to one another. But you know, it's actually Christ who's the one who gives his spirit to us. He's Christ who gives us the dynamic of his spirit to empower us afresh for living. And so I don't want it to be limited by just a few come forward. So I would love in this moment for you to ask Jesus to fill you again with his spirit. I hope you've come in this year hungry for more of him. But if we're to be this people, if we're to be free, where the Spirit of the Lord is there, there is freedom. If we're to be people who love one another, put God first and others second, and ourselves third, we need his Spirit. So, Lord, in this moment, in this quiet, as we pray individually, Lord, hear our prayers. You are a good Father who loves to give good gifts to your children. You delight in us. Lord, cause each one to cry out to you. Hear their prayers. They seek for more of your spirit in their lives. Come, Lord Jesus, I pray.